Hello, we are at our show, the weekly portion, this time the portion of Bo. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Moshe Admoni. Hello. So in our last portion, the portion of Vayera, we mentioned 7 of the 10 plagues that the Creator casted on Egypt. At the beginning of this portion, the portion of Bo, the 2 more plagues are mentioned, the locusts and darkness, and Pharaoh refuses to release his sons of Israel, and he says to Moses, "Go for me and beware, do not see my face again, because the day you see my face again, you shall die." And Moses tells him, "So you've spoken, I shall not return to see your face again." And the Creator says to Moses that after the last plague, Pharaoh will release the people of Israel from Egypt. And the people of Israel begin to prepare for the 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn's sons. And they loan all kinds of vessels from the Egyptians, silver ones, golden ones, and clothing. The Creator tells Moses in detail about the laws of the sacrifice of Passover that the people of Israel will have to perform during the last plague, and they do them. They need to take the male sheep to kill it and to take the blood and put it on the sills of the doors of the houses to eat it. And at midnight, the plague happens, and finally Pharaoh hastens the people of Israel to leave Egypt. And at midnight, they all leave Egypt. So after 430 years, they finally left. Rav Lightman, what does it mean to leave Egypt? Our entire nature, the will to receive, the will to enjoy, to do anything for our own sake, is called Egypt. It depends how you look at it. There are certain people who enjoy it, and there are some people who don't enjoy it anymore, but they still think they might be able to enjoy it. And there are those who already know that it's not possible to enjoy yourself in this way, and they know that you need to do something about it, but they don't know what. Also, the world is in a kind of check and recheck. What do we do with ourselves and with nature in this world that we're not really handling very well? On the one hand, we're very smart. On the other hand, very stupid because of our ego. So in our brains, we're smart, but all of this wisdom that we have, we use in order to fight each other. Everything that we try to do well, our nature turns it into something bad that's against us. And thus we always make mistakes thinking that good will come of our deeds, and we fail. And out of this desperation, when we feel like we're dehydrated, exhausted of this life, and now especially when we see how much this general crisis is getting us into problems in every field, in everything we do, in our relationships with nature, in the family, with our children, with technology, between countries, and everything. So we see what's in common here, what's the common denominator here. We begin to see that in all of these things, our ego is what's common between them all. This is what is not allowing us to live well. And this acknowledgement of evil, of our nature, is a necessary first stage, without which we're not able to do anything. However, this decision only arrives after this acknowledgement of the evil of the ego inside one, and the height of this acknowledgement is called the 10 plagues, where all in all, we can see with our senses, we can sense that our ego does not benefit us in any way. In any of its 10 aspects, it will not allow us to live well, to continue to live well at all. And there is no other way. We have to leave it. We just don't know how and where to and what do we do. And what does it mean to leave? What does it mean to exit our nature? How do we rise above it? We don't know anything else but it. So therefore here, this acknowledgement of evil comes to an even higher stage, where we begin to see that there is also a good force against it. And this good force against it, we begin to feel that with it, perhaps we can rise above our ego towards connection, towards love, to something completely different. Maybe there's a force that will help us to do this. And this is how we find the Creator, this general force. We begin to see that there are such changes in us that are anti-ego, that come against the ego. And out of these ascents and descents, where once we find ourselves supposedly with this inclination towards connection and discussing and support and love, participation, mutual guarantee, something that is completely opposite to our ego. And we begin to feel how good the world would have been if we would be able to do that. And we see that there's a kind of force that is helping us, that is pulling us, that suddenly opens our eyes a little more. And we begin to understand that there's an opposite world completely in the relationships between us. And just like we begin to acknowledge that our ego is a general evil force, in all ways, against these ways and aspects of the ego, we begin to see that there is the opposite, a copy of it. Instead of a negative force, a positive one. There is the good copy against every bad incident. And then we begin to yearn for it. And we also begin to discover that this very force that changes our feeling, once it gives us the feeling that the ego is bad, and once that bestowal and connection is good, this force is external to us. It's an additional force in nature that actually is constantly playing with us now in order to advance us, to get us to know that there's something behind, something beyond what we feel, something outside of what we feel, and that we can trust it. We can demand from him, we can ask from him, we can lean on him, we can get help from him. This is how the force of bestowal begins to be revealed. And when it begins to be revealed, more and more, we begin to see with our senses, with our feeling, that this force is also the first, and it's higher than the force of our nature, or the force of reception. And it's him who's playing with us through this force of reception in order to show himself to us. Otherwise, we wouldn't need him, we wouldn't value him, we wouldn't yearn for him, we wouldn't even notice him. Because we have all kinds of unpleasant incidences, these plagues with our ego, let's say the current crisis, all kinds of problems in the family, with our children, with myself, with the ecology, all kinds of things. In this way, he's gradually beginning to show us that I'm in charge. But in order for you to get to know me, you can only get to know me through these bad incidences, these negative incidences. And so what do they say about Egypt? That until the people of Israel acknowledge all the evil in Egypt, all of Pharaoh and all of his ministers, they're not able to leave. They don't have the power to leave. They still think that there's something good about the ego. The ego has still got its hold on them. This is called that Pharaoh is not letting them out. Yes and no, yes and no. It's not that Pharaoh says, okay, go, and then he stops. It's the person himself. He says, well, I have to get out of my ego. And a moment later, he calms down and stays in his same course in life. And so days and years go by. We see this about students of Kabbalah, which is the only way that we can discover this entire path, because it's this wisdom that brings us this force of bestowal, the power of the light that reforms, the power of the Creator that governs us and takes us out of our internal Egypt. So we feel how hard it is for a person to finally decide that I'm leaving my ego completely and not staying in it. He has to agree to leave it, to go into the desert, to a life he doesn't know at all. He rips himself out of his previous state where he feels good in corporeality, as is written, that in Egypt you have everything, not like in our world today, but much more. This is how a person describes to himself in comparison to spirituality, where he doesn't see a thing. There is the restriction there, a desert. You have to care for others. Who even knows what it is and where it's leading you? The ego sometimes seems as something normal, something warm, something very familiar. The house of mother, on the one hand, and small animalistic life in a kennel, somewhere where you can hide, on the other hand. And this smallness, it holds us up until one grows, until one awakens and lifts himself up and sees that it's not for him. It does not satisfy him. He begins to see, despite the heaviness of the ego, and what? The ego suddenly shows him how good you will be, you will feel. Don't leave, don't go. And it grows. But the person grows, and he's not able to agree with his ego. There's already a qualitative scrutinizing here, discernment in thought, in ideologically, let's say, that he is not able to stay in this lie and in such an attitude to life. And after that, he leaves. And it's written that when the people of Israel left Egypt, it was after 430 years. In another place, it's written that it took them 210 years. Why? Abraham, when he asked the Creator, how will I know that I shall inherit? That we shall attain the land of Israel, meaning the desire that is completely aimed at bestowal and love. Land means desire, and Israel is yeshalkel, straight to bestowal and love, because that is the upper force. The other force in nature, actually it's the first, but we discover it after we've already come to know our ego. It's the second in the process of our revelation, but it is actually the only force, the governing force, and there is none else but him. So the answer Abraham received was that your offspring will be will live in a land not of their own, in exile, and then this way you reach the full degree. If a person has suffered from his ego enough and gotten to know him in all the four degrees of development of the will to receive within him, it means that he's gotten to know him all the way, and then he can get out, he can leave Egypt. But here there is only 210 years. What does that mean? To go through the exile all at once is impossible. This is only a preparation for the exiles. After Egypt, the people of Israel ascend to the height of the first temple, and they correct themselves in completion by that to the height of Mochin Decheya. Afterwards, they need to be broken. This is called the destruction of the first temple, and to go into the 70-year exile of Babylon. Afterwards, there is the deeds of Mordechai and Esther, the queen, and they return to the land of Israel once again from Babylon, and they build the second temple, which already happens at Mochin de Neshama, much less than the first temple, and they live there another few hundred years, and then they reach the destruction of the second temple. And after the second temple, there are 2,000 more years until our days, more or less, where we complete the final exile and enter the final redemption, the whole redemption. Those 190 years that were left in Egypt, why were they spread out into 70 and 2,000 more? And who knows how to determine the end of these 2,000 years? This is because in the different degrees, the extent or power of the exile is different, and therefore it expands. And the exile, it's not just an exile where you fall from the spiritual height into the ego. The exiles are because we need to be mixed with all the rest of humanity, which Abraham left behind and couldn't take with him when he left Babylon. He wanted to correct all of Babylon and to turn everyone into Israel, into Yeshar Kel, straight to the Creator. But he couldn't at once to do that. He could only take Galgal Ta'inayim out of there, the vessels of bestowals that have the yearning to spirituality, and that is what the people of the nation of Israel came from. But the correction is intended for everyone. And all those Babylonians, they multiplied since then, but all of this multiplication, all of this increasing of population is in order to ease the correction, so that instead of one person doing the correction, 10 people will do it, and then it's easier to suffer, easier to understand, easier to come to the decision that I'd like to rise above and go through these great changes, these turnings, upside downs, where the person needs to go from the will to receive to the will to bestow. And what happens later is that when in the second temple, when we enter the breaking, where we've completely lost our spiritual state, our power to bestow, we become just like all the nations of the world, and so we go into exile once again. We mix with them, Spain, Germany, France, England, and all of the countries of Eastern Europe, so on the one hand, and also on the other hand, all the Muslim countries, the other branch. And so it turns out that by that we are integrated with all of those Babylonians and need to later fix, correct all of them. And actually with those Babylonians, we are integrated also after the first temple. This is why we lost the 10 tribes. It's not 10 exactly, it's 9.5. Now we have about 2.5 tribes of these ancient tribes. These calculations also are through Kabbalah. Why it's like this or not another way, this is all very precise. So after the first temple, we lost 9.5 tribes. They become integrated with the nations of the world in the meantime. And in the second temple, the 2.5 other tribes that are left are also integrated with the nation of the world. And in our days, all of this integration is ending, meaning that this same spiritual degree that we attain at during the first temple of Mochin de Chaya is now completely gone from us. This is called the descent of the generations that we went through on the one hand, and on the other hand, we've been integrated with all of the nations of the world to the end, so much so that in each and every one of the people of the nations of the world, there is a kind of, or some part of us, and also in us, there is an integration with all of the nations of the world, and now we can begin the correction. And now, in our days, people are drawn with this question of what is the point, what is the purpose of our life. They're drawn to the wisdom of Kabbalah in order to draw the light through it and to begin to discern ourselves, to discern themselves. And so we reach the correction, and we see it happening with our own eyes in all the countries, in all the nations, from all religions, in all types and colors of everyone. There are people who yearn very, very much to know what is the force of bestowal, the force of love, the force of connection, where there's completely, utterly no such model or example throughout history, and yet they are drawn to this correction, and this is how we begin them. We begin the corrections. And actually, on the part of nature, the correction, first of all, falls as a duty, not upon them, but upon the people of Israel of our generation. Each and every one who is Jewish, a remnant from those thousands of years of existence since the days of Abraham, our forefather. And he has this duty to correct himself and to become a light unto the nations and to show them afterwards what is the method of correction. And this is called, you shall be a nation of priests and a holy nation. And this is true on the one hand. On the other hand, each person who wants this, just like in ancient times, with Rabbi Akiva, with the Hillel the Old, we know how people would come even from the nation of the world, and they'd want to join. Just like Abraham opened up his tent for everyone, whoever came, he began to sanctify him, to make him closer to the Creator, to the upper force, to the force of love and bestowal. In this way, we need to explain to everyone and to help everyone come closer. And therefore, we are now at this final stage where, on the one hand, we yearn very much that all of Israel would come and get to know this special age in which we are, this final stage of the correction, a stage in which our world needs to spiritually ascend to the degree of love and bestowal, which also the general crisis compels us to do. And on the other hand, that we're also glad that we have millions of people in all different countries and from all different nations who study together with us this method of correction and understand that only in this rising above the ego will we be able to leave Egypt, our egoistic world, and reach a good, happy life, new life. However, before we completely get to know and acknowledge this bad force of our ego, we won't be able to leave. And therefore, even though our inner Pharaoh is constantly holding us, and once we identify with it, and once we identify with the Creator as Moses, as a small child that is between these two forces. But he's not a child anymore. He's already 80 years old, meaning he already has most of his degrees except for Gar, the first three. But he's not able yet to stand before his Pharaoh, before his ego, to stand alone. He has a problem. This quality within us that develops, this Moses within us, he still doesn't know how to explain to himself what is happening, what to do. They won't believe me. I'm heavy of tongue. So then there is a difficulty for a person to completely acknowledge that there is no good in the will to receive, in our ego, in self-love. And all we need to do is escape it. Until the 10th plague arrives of the firstborn sons, we'll learn about it in the next portion, which leaves a person with no doubt that he must leave, and that he cannot agree with the Pharaoh anymore. And this is how we leave. There are a lot of corrections. The door sill, the mezuzot, the blood that they need to do. We won't talk about it. These things are very... According to Kabbalah, it's all very clear. But if we look at it in a simplified way, it's difficult to understand these things. Of course, we can understand what it means to take vessels from the Egyptians, the silver vessels, the gold ones. These are the desires. We don't go from one world to the next, and as it seems perhaps to a person that we fly to some place in a different universe or something turns around. Nothing turns around. As is written, the world continues as it is. The same connections and ties between us all the time. Technology, everything remains. Only the essence of the connection between us changes, so that instead of me wanting to connect to each and everyone in order to use them for my own sake, instead of that, I want to connect to everyone in order to benefit them and to help them, to fill them with what they need. And therefore, this is why it is called to love thy friend as thyself, so that just as you love yourself and know what you need and what you want to fill yourself with, you need to take others to learn what they want and use everything you have in order to fill others. This is called loving them as thyself. Inside this process, what is this moment or state of exit from Egypt? Moses has already seen the Creator during the burning bush event, and he's gone through this process. This quality in a person already has this revelation. So what is this point where all the desires call to Israel? Something opens up that didn't open up before. In the explanation you gave about these relationships between us, what exactly is revealed? What is this exit from Egypt where a person knows, that's it, I've left? Two opposite things are revealed here. On the one hand, how much I am completely, 100% in thought and heart, tied to my ego, soaked in it, dipped in it, in this egoism, and I'm not able to do anything, no thought, no calculation. Even what I see through the filter of my ego, what's good and what's not. What am I scared of and what can I gain from? If I cannot be afraid of something or gain, not to gain or succeed, I don't see it. Here, even now, in my world, together with me, there are perhaps worlds and creatures and who knows what. If it is not relevant to my ego, I don't see it. It filters it out. My will to receive filters it out. And I don't feel it, that it exists. This means that I need to, on the one hand, see how much I am soaked and dipped in this egoism and integrated with it 100% and each and every detail, and that it determines above me about my desires and my thoughts and everything that happens with me. It determines, it governs. What does it mean that Pharaoh is the back of the neck? It is behind the scenes. It's behind me, constantly organizing without me seeing it. It is handling me like a little puppet. And I don't see how it's my ego that's running the show on the one hand. And on the other hand, I'm beginning to see that it's all him. I begin to acknowledge it. It's a great big monster and completely against me. It controls me 100% and it's 100% against my good. These two discernments I have to attain. Therefore, these entire 400 years and 10 plagues, it's all in order to attain these two discernments. That on the one hand, how do I rip myself from it? How do I get myself out of there? This is not clear. This is a true miracle of the Exodus from Egypt. This happens through the upper force. But this miracle happens the moment that I cannot describe myself, that there is any other reality that I'll be able to leave this place, because I've gotten to know it in this final, full way. And at this point, a miracle happens. This is like birth pains. Well, not the pains, but the birth itself. The pains is like the troubles. The word even in Hebrew comes from this same word. The embryo begins to feel that he's not comfortable in the womb. He felt good. He felt like he was in the best, safest place. He didn't think of anything. Before he even thought of it, he received it. And suddenly, these troubles start. It begins to be narrow, these pains. This is not okay, and this is not okay. It's as if this womb begins to be not so friendly. And not just not so friendly, but truly, truly with great, great troubles. This is a very difficult act. And we see that to this day, birth is something dangerous. As much as we've gotten to know it over tens of thousands of years, what's more natural than and simple than birth? But for human beings, this is very difficult. Of all the animals in the animal world, the human, because of our head, which is a very big head, this is a difficult act. And therefore, he suddenly discovers here such pains, this very difficult state. Suddenly he turns around inside the womb. And what used to be light is now darkness. It also turns upside down in his understanding. We're talking about a big person, not a baby. This womb is our nature. We are embryos inside this world, inside this universe. This is all that I know. All of this is my womb. So all of my values turn around from good to bad and from bad to good. This is the acknowledgement of evil, that everything that I thought was good, everything that I determined before was good, I now determine that they're bad. The values change. And then when everything changes and I truly turn upside down with my feet where my head used to be, then I find even greater pressure. as if the process that I'm going through from the womb outwardly is a very difficult process. It's not simple. On the one hand, I already need to breathe the air of the outside world. I need to begin to function in accordance to this living body in the enlightened world, in the spiritual world, in accordance to discernments of love and bestowal. On the other hand, I'm still inside. This transition is a very difficult drama. And maybe, I don't know, maybe if I'll have words to describe it one day, I'll be able to tell you how these states change. And we will talk about it in this process of the Exodus from Egypt. The Creator who appears before them either as a cloud or the pillar of smoke, of fire, how they reached through the land of the Plishtim, where the birth could have been easy had they gone through this land, but they know they go through the sea that's called Suf. So the Exodus is the spiritual birth, but let's leave a little bit for the next weekly portion. Well, too bad, because that was my next question after Gilad. I still have a question, because you're saying that on the one hand, the person is completely dipped within Pharaoh. This is a horrible discovery. And on the other hand, we see that Pharaoh is completely against one's good. So, but there's still another alleyway where a person needs to be able to get out of this, to disconnect himself from this. And this is like a death where he needs to let go of everything he knows. Does a person see that there's anything before him that's better? Does he feel that there's something better before him? Or does he really need to just throw himself out? What happens? If one sees that there's something good before him, that the Creator seems to us as this pillar of smoke. If he sees before him the darkness, then the Creator seems to him as the pillar of light, the pillar of fire. Meaning it's all opposite. It's all upside down. The work is to completely disconnect yourself from discernments and from habits, to turn around all of the way that we view our reality, the one in which we live, and to see the upper force, which is hiding behind this picture and is running it, in order for us, through this picture, to get to know Him. And when we reach the state in which, yes, we can know Him, this is called that we're born. Can you add to here our friends on the path into this image? I didn't say this before because I was constantly talking and meaning, intending that this all happens in the group. All this love and connection it all happens in the connection between people. And when we say that the people of Israel are the first to leave Egypt, we mean those who wish to be directed towards the Creator, Yeshakel, who want to be connected between them, as is written that all of Israel are friends, love thy friend as thyself, the love of others, and so on. So, of course, all of this happens within the group. First of all, in the small group that is called Israel, and afterwards, and all of the rest of the people that are called the nation of the world, and each and every part also is divided into the internal part that is called Israel, let's say our group, where we study and wish to fulfill the method of Kabbalah, in the people of Israel and the land of Israel, which is towards us, still not called Israel, because there still isn't this clear inclination towards the Creator, towards the correction of oneself. And also there's more than that. We'd like to see the nation of Israel connect to the Torah of light, to the revelation of the force of love and bestowal between us. And then we will see that those same Jews in exile They don't really feel that they're in exile. That we should also see them as outside of us, and that they will also need to come and become Yashar Kel Israel. And when we care for them and they begin to connect, then we will look at the entire world in this way, and so gradually we will reach the state in which the entire world will come to this desired correction, because we are in the final redemption. Abraham wanted to do this to begin with, immediately, but it was impossible. But just like the correction happened gradually over the years, this is how we need to now perform it during this final redemption. But we need to understand that we have a great help, which is these 10 plagues that are now being revealed all over the world and also here with us. For us, it is revealed in a qualitative way, in this existential fear with a threat from our neighbors, from the entire world, in the most decisive way, because we need to firstly perform the correction. But the world itself is also advancing through these blows to the acknowledgement of evil, and therefore they are next in line to get to know the evil of the ego and to be willing to rise above it. When a group of friends, let's call it that way, want to leave Israel together, you describe this moment, this critical moment of birth. What do the friends, what can they do in order to help each other, in order to truly be born, to agree to leave the ego? Not to be afraid of the acknowledgement of evil that is revealed between them, not to be afraid, because it will be revealed more and more, and together with that, for the necessity to leave it to be revealed, the hatred of the evil, that is what we need. We need to hate the evil. And then, as a result of it, we also need to reach the love of goodness. We need to reach bestowal and love. There's this last point here. You describe this feeling of Pharaoh, which actually sounds like there's none else but Pharaoh, not the Creator. How is it now flipped from this behind of Pharaoh to the discoverer that this is the Creator and not Pharaoh, that also Pharaoh is a puppet? This is the birth where that same force with which I live begins to show itself in me as really this bad force, this hated force, my internal enemy, the snake inside. And I want very much to get rid of it, but I'm not able to. Lately, there have been such illnesses, either viral ones and also AIDS and all those, the cancer and so on, which we want to get rid of them so much but are not able to. This is also the acknowledgement of evil in its complete form on our animal level, which also comes from a higher degree of the speaking level. So to hate it, to want to get rid of it at every price and not to be able to, and then we begin to acknowledge and to get to know the Creator, and we demand from this critical moment to discover Him, and then He's revealed, and then we already feel ourselves as clean from all the evil and in the enlightened world. I think there are no better words to end our portion, this such a fascinating portion with this birth. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Moshe Admoni. And we'll see you in our next portion. Thank you, and Shabbat Shalom.